Listen, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And since it's Mother's Day, I wanted to share all of my kids with you. There they are. Aren't they beautiful? Half of them are in Denver, so that's our daughter on the right. She happens to be holding Lucas and Jen's little girl, Nora. But next to my daughter is her daughter, Faithlyn. Her daddy's in the back. That's Jacob. Next to Jacob, to the left there is Ethan. Graham is down here, second to the left, so they're all in Denver. And this was an opportunity. Lucas, Jen, and their family went out to see them a few summers ago, and they joined the gang. Boy, you know, it was just the two of us when we started out on June 17th, 1978, and look what happens. It's a beautiful thing. Well, the title of my Mother's Day message this morning is A Mother Has Influence. A mother has influence. I want to begin this message in an unexpected way. I want to begin by talking about a man of God. Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied about him centuries before he was born. This man of God's human genetic DNA would be knitted and formed in his mother's womb someday, before his mother would carry him in her womb, this man of God's destiny was sovereignly formed and knitted in heaven's throne room. From heaven's throne room, the Spirit of God birthed a prophetic word through Isaiah the prophet. Let me read to you this prophetic word. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, and I will read verses 3-5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Whose voice is Isaiah speaking about? Who is this that declares that mountains will be raised, mountains will be lowered and valleys will be raised? Whose voice is this that will declare that someday the crooked places will be made straight? Whose voice is this that Isaiah is prophesying about? Whose voice is this that will cry out? None other than John the Baptist. Let me introduce to you this morning John the Baptist. He was quite the man of God. The Word of God says that he clothed himself with camel's hair and locust was about in his beard. He was quite the powerful prophetic man of God. But I want to fast forward all of us this morning into the New Testament. I want to go beyond the pages of the Old Testament, and I want to speak concerning what was said about John. And I want to read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1-4. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Let me tell you all about this man of God. He was quite unique. There was no one like him. The Word of God said that he came preaching. He came as an anointed preacher of the message that the Spirit of God had deposited in this man's spirit, in his mind, and in his soul. His message was one thing: repent. Repent, confess your sins, get right with God. John was quite the man. There was no one like him. He confronted the religious and the proud and the self-fulfilled leaders who did not know what it meant to repent. Repentance was for all the others, but not for themselves. He confronted and called them out. John had courage. John had a backbone. John was not weak. He was not intimidated. He went nose to nose and toe to toe with the religious and the proud and the self-sufficient. John said something interesting in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 2. Let me read to you, 7 to 10, let me read to you these verses. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, now hold on, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine being in the audience and the preacher starts preaching this way? Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John was not interested in making friends that day. He was interested in doing the will of God and saying what God had put in his heart to say. Let's go on, verse 8. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. There's that word again, repent. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Oh, John confronted them and called them out. And now he gets very personal and very specific in regards to the power and the work of God that God has determined and designed for these people to know and to experience. John says the axe will be laid to the root of their lives. They were rooted in pride. And John begins to preach with all of his courage and all of his backbone and all of his tenacity. And he says, oh, the axe is going to be laid to the root of their pride. The root was rotten and religious. They fooled everyone with their religious fruit. Yet God was their initiator of what was going to be happening in their life. And God sent John because God was sick of the pride. God was sick of the religious root that they lived out of. And isn't that just like God? He loves to get to the root of the problem. We can only see the fruit. We examine and we can only see what is above the surface. But God, because he is God and the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is equal with the Father, comes and does the Father's will and the Father's work. And John says that the root, the axe will be laid to the root because God likes to get to the root of the problem. We wear ourselves out dilly-dallying and trying to fix this and fix that and try to adjust this and adjust that. And I love how God can just show up and roll up his sleeves and say, let me save you some time. We will waste our lives when we don't let God deal and work in our life. We can waste years and years and years, but only God can show up and redeem the time and say, let me get to the root of what's going on in your life. I love that about God. And I love that about John, that is what John preached. Let me tell you a little bit more about John. John was a man of God who was able to keep his identity in check. He was able to keep his perspective of himself in check. Look at verse 11. Look at how he speaks about himself. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. There's that word again. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John knew who he was. but he also knew who Jesus was. John was not confused about his limitations and his assignment. I think the greatest thing that God can do for you and me is to help us realize where we end. We have limitations. We need to know what lane we belong in. And we need to learn how to stay in our lane. And John knew how to do that. He knew what he was not. He knew where he belonged. He knew what his assignment was. He didn't have any trouble with understanding who he was. He had limitations. He was not Jesus. John knew who he was, but John knew who Jesus was. Oh, hallelujah. I think the more that we decrease, the more Jesus increases. In other words, the more we learn about how limited we really are, then the Holy Spirit can start magnifying and showing us how great Jesus is. I believe that's a revelation from heaven. John knew that Jesus was mightier than himself. There's nothing worse than a servant of the Lord who's arrogant and boasts and brags about their self. John knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was mightier than himself. He was more than glad to give Jesus all the glory, all the honor. That was part of his assignment. He was to lift up Jesus, not draw the people to himself, not make disciples after himself, but his assignment was to lift up Jesus. He knew that Jesus was mightier than himself. He knew he was not even worthy to carry the sandals that Jesus walked in. John knew that Jesus would bring the Holy Spirit and the fire. John knew he was just a voice prophesying to make way for Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to do that. Holy Spirit, help us. Help this church to be a voice that simply prepares the way of the Lord for work to be done in people's lives. Look at verse 12. This amazes me. Pay attention to how many times he uses the word his and he. He's not feeling the atmosphere with words about himself. The his's and the he's in this verse are not about himself. They're about Jesus. Look at this, how many times he does this. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. John knew the ministry was not his. The ministry was Jesus's ministry. It's his threshing floor, and he will gather. Look at this. It's his wheat. The harvest does not belong to us. It's his. Hallelujah. He'll gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Yes, the Lord, it is his ministry. It is his work. The harvest belongs to him. Glory to God, we're a part of that harvest. But the fear of the Lord enters into the end of this verse, and it says, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He is an awesome, good, glorious, everlasting, loving, holy God, but he is a God to be feared because he will burn the chaff in unquenchable fire on judgment day. This was John. He didn't want to talk about himself. He wanted to talk about Jesus. Wow. John spoke about Jesus, but did you know Jesus spoke about John? This is interesting to me. You know, the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2, don't praise yourself. Let somebody else do it for you. And Jesus is about to step up. Just look real quick here. Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 and 12. John didn't boast about himself. John just simply did the will of God. John just simply magnified Jesus. But Jesus speaks about John. And he says this in Matthew 11, verses 7 to 12. He's referring to John. Assuredly, I say to you, those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. And we'll stop right there. I'll just stop right there. Jesus says, among women, there is no one greater that has been born, unlike anyone that could ever be born, is John the Baptist. He's bragging on John. Can you imagine having Jesus brag on you? So often we want to brag on ourselves. We want the attention on ourselves. We want people to know what we've done for the Lord. Hey, those are just empty, limited voices. Can you imagine if Jesus brags on you? The Son of God, the everlasting one, the beginning and the end. He's bragging on John. And he's telling the people, let me tell you just a little bit more here about John. He says to them in verse 16 and 17, he says, but to what shall I liken this generation? And he's looking at the people, and he's talking about the people that are listening to him now, those in the crowd that are standing there. He says to the people, it is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned for you, and you did not lament. In other words, you don't do what we want you to do. Jesus knew that people were fickle. Jesus knew that people were shallow. They're always testing John to see how John responds to them. And John wasn't concerned about how he was responding to the people. John was concerned about how he was responding to Jesus. And Jesus begins to brag on John. And he says, John was no pushover. John stepped on toes. John actually hurt people's feelings because he didn't do what they wanted him to do for them. And let's remember this, ladies and gentlemen. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. John was not a man pleaser. John was a pleaser of Jesus. And you know what? This insults some people, but you know what? Jesus loved it. He bragged on John over it. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes we just got to be reminded. We got to get on twisted. We got to get our head on straight. We get too focused in on how people are responding to us. Only one opinion matters. What does Jesus have to say about you and me? Hallelujah. Now I come back to the title of my message. A mother has influence. John was confronting sin. And John would clash with the people. He would go against the grain. He would go against the grain of opinion and preferences of people. Jesus and John both dealt with this. They knew what it was like. Again, Matthew 11, verses 16 to 17, Jesus described these people. And John was not a man who would ever yield. He wouldn't yield to the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He wouldn't yield to the political leaders. He wouldn't dance the dance. He wouldn't play their games. He was not a man pleaser. But there came a day when John's ministry went against the grain. He goes against the grain of a political leader named Herod and his wife named Herodias. And John was not about to dance the dance with Herod and Herodias. And now I want to take you to Mark chapter 6, verses 17 to 18. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John was going against the grain. He confronts Herod and Herodias' adultery. Because Herodias had been married to Herod's brother Philip. But Herodias and Herod began to have an adulterous relationship. And the very thing that John prophesied and said, Jesus is coming and he's going to make the crooked places straight. This was a crooked place. And sometimes places get so crooked, and when the holiness and the presence of God comes into a situation, people don't like it. But John didn't care. Wow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you this morning the mother of the hour, Herodias. She's on the right here. This is her daughter to the left of her. But this is Herodias. She leaves her husband Philip's and she goes to marry Herod. She commits adultery. And John is confronting Herod and Herodias. But the star of the hour now moves to Herodias. This was a woman who allowed Herod to lay his emotions in her lap. He would go to her with his emotions, with what he was struggling with and toying over. He would lay that in her lap. He would lay in her lap the relationships in his life, all that he was connected to. He would do this with her. He shared his heart and he shared his bed. But I need to talk to you about Herodias. Herodias, yes, she's a mother, but as we all know, we're celebrating Mother's Day today, but we're more than a mother. Who you are as a mother flows out of all that you are. She was a woman. She was the wife of Herod, an adulterous wife. But she was also a mother, yes. And John was confronting her. This woman, this mother, was being confronted. He confronted her sin. He called her and Herod to repent, and she did not repent. No. She did not repent. Instead, she became offended at the work of the Holy Spirit in her life. God was just getting a bit too personal and direct for her taste. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 19, it says this, "Therefore Herodias held it against him," referring to John, "and wanted to kill him." Wow. This is not just your everyday mama. She wanted to kill him because she was offended at his message to her to repent. Herodias wanted revenge. Doesn't this sound like a mystery movie? Wouldn't this make a good movie? Herodias wanted revenge. Don't underestimate the power of a mama. She had gained influence over Herod emotionally, relationally, sexually. She used her influence through Herod, her husband, to put John in prison. But I come to the title of this message this morning, and it is "A Mother Has Influence." Now let me introduce to you Salome. She sits to the right of her mother. I looked up how to pronounce her name. It's a million and one different ways to pronounce it. Salome, salami, sounds like the lunch meat. And I went with Salome this morning. Oh, aren't they quite the lovely pair, mother and daughter? And shall we say, like mother, like daughter? We now have Herodias, the mother, who has been harboring her offense against the man of God, John the Baptist. She managed to put him in prison. Offense, ladies and gentlemen, is never satisfied. That's the danger of offense. That's the deception of offense. It is never satisfied. She had him in prison, but it wasn't enough. And she waited for her opportunity. One day, Herod's birthday rolls around, and he decides to have a feast. And this mother, Herodias, is going to use her influence as a mother through her daughter, Salome, to accomplish the desire of this mother's heart. So Herod has a birthday. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, verses 21 to 23. The story goes on. Then an opportune day. Oh, the enemy always will provide an opportunity. Then an opportune day came when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give up to half of my kingdom." And so Salome goes to this party, and she obviously must have danced some kind of a provocative dance. I tried to give you a picture of her at the birthday feast dancing, but it wasn't appropriate. Oh, Herodias had raised quite the daughter. And Salome goes in and performs a provocative dance for the man who is her stepfather. Salome had quite the impact on her stepfather. And look at verse 24. Look when he gives her her request, and look at this. Look what she does, verse 24 of Mark chapter 6. So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" Listen, you want to know who has the most influence in somebody's life? You go watch and see who they go straight to. That's the person who has the most influence in their life. Whew, it got real quiet. But isn't it the truth? And she goes straight to her mother. Why? Because her mother had influence on her. That's why she went straight to her mother. And she says to her mother, "What shall I ask?" Oh, Herodias didn't have to hesitate. She wanted the head of John the Baptist. She didn't have to stop and think about it. As soon as Salome asks her that question, she says, look at verse 24. And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Now, this picture that I have here, ladies and gentlemen, because of Pastor Luke and Jason, they did a little bit of a switch on us. And this platter she's holding actually had the head of John in it. But I didn't want to shock everybody with the head. But I believe that when Herodias said, "I want the head of John the Baptist," I think she had a platter close enough by. She didn't even have to look too far for a platter. She had this thing all premeditated. And she knew when the opportunity came, she was going to strike. She knew exactly what she wanted. And she had such an ungodly influence on her daughter that when her daughter was set up in the most amazing opportunity in her eyes, she knew exactly what she was going to do. Wow. She wants his head on the platter. So concluding this message this morning, it was a mother who ordered the imprisonment of this man of God, John the Baptist. Ha! John the Baptist, the man that Isaiah prophesied about. The words are recorded in the Word of God, the man of God that Jesus bragged and boasted about. It was a mother. Is this how you would have imagined John's life ending? Through the hands of a mother who influences her daughter to give the request that she wants his head on a platter? Is this how John went down? I never would have ever planned it this way. It never would have entered into my mind that this is how this man of God's life would have ended. Ladies, it tells you this morning how powerful our influence as a mother can be. It can either go to the side of holiness or it can go to the side of sinfulness. But this is how John's journey would end. It was a mother who brought about the execution of this man of God. A mother has influence. Now, let's ask ourselves this question this morning. What does Herodias' life have to say to us today? I thought about some things. I came up with four things. What does, we read about this story, we think, oh, you know, that's her deal, that's her problem. Why would God put this in the scriptures? What does her life have to say to us today? Number one, Herodias became angry and offended. How's your heart today? You know, we think we can play around with anger and offense and we can manage it, but it is sin has power. Sin is deceiving. It plants seeds. And James talks about this. He says, you got to kill that seed when it's at its very beginning, because if you don't, it will burrow roots. Sin is deceiving. Sin is powerful. Sin is smarter than you and me. It's stronger than you and me. We can't outwit sin. Herodias harbored anger and offense, and her heart was turned to the dark side. How is our heart today? Number two, Herodias' offense was transferred into and through her daughter. A mother has influence. I can remember raising my kids, and I taught them. I would hone in on them, and I raised them and trained them to listen to my voice. And when they were little and they were doing something they shouldn't do, all I have to do is get their eye contact. And they knew I was looking at them, and they knew what I wanted. A mother has influence. Hey, I raised our kids on the front pew of church world. I couldn't have my kids running around like wild Indians, being rebel. Hey, the days are over, but I used to carry a spanking spoon in my diaper bag, and if they were misbehaving, and we were in that little church over there, and there was no nursery. There was no children's ministry. I was the children's ministry. I was the nursery worker for these kids. And we'd have to go back and sit in the back sometimes on the back stairwell, and they started acting up. All I had to do was pull out the handle of that wooden spoon. That's all it took, because a mother has influence. But Herodias' offense transferred into her daughter, and she shared her hate with her daughter. And it went into her daughter's heart. How's our heart this morning? How are you influencing your children? Are you pushing them toward the Lord? I mean pushing them toward the Lord. I don't mean suggesting. Saying if it works out to tonight, maybe we'll go to church. Maybe I'll take you to the youth group. Maybe I'll take you to Kids on the Rock. Maybe I'll take you to church if it happens to be convenient for our schedule. I'm talking about pushing your kids toward the Lord. Let's give God a praise over that one. Hallelujah. Are you pushing them toward holiness? Can I tell you, raising our daughter, there were a few times she came up out of that lower level of that house, dressed to go to church, and we said, nope, turn around and go back down and try again. Cover yourself. The power of culture has quite the impact on our kids. Are your eyes open? Are you pushing them toward a deeper and deeper and deeper surrender to the will of God? We raised our kids. The most important thing for your life is do the will of God. Even if it meant it broke my heart, the choices that God was asking them to make. Hey, a mother has influence, and I push my kids to do the will of God even when my heart was breaking. Are you pushing your kids toward a deeper, deeper surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit dealing and working in their life? Do they know the Holy Spirit? Do they know the fire of the Holy Spirit in their life? And number four, we need the dealings and the activity of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Without that, where would we be? If God was to leave us to ourselves, where would we be? I am not the person I would have been if I would have excused myself from the activity of the Holy Spirit in my life. I would be a completely different woman, a completely different mother, but I knew I needed the activity and the dealings of the Holy Spirit. Herodias rejected the conviction of the Holy Spirit. She rejected the dealings of the Holy Spirit. John came to her face to face and said, Herodias, rebellious. This relationship that you are in is unlawful. It is adulterous. God literally brought a man of God to get into her face. How much more plain did God have to make it? And yet, she rejected the dealings and the activity of the Holy Spirit in her life. Without the Holy Spirit, where would we be? There is something going on in our country, in our nation, especially with mothers. I have seen news reports. I have seen video clips. I don't know what this is, but it's young mothers that are taking their precious little children to drag queen story time. The enemy is trying to get a hold of the mothers. It is the most perverted, grieving, gross thing I have ever seen. It boggles the mind. These women are sitting around tables as their children are being read to by a drag queen. This drag queen is dancing among the tables, and the mothers are laughing hilariously while their children are being entertained and read to by a drag queen. Oh, the enemy is foul. He is perverted. He is twisted. The mothers in the kingdom of God must stay sensitive to the voice and the dealing of the Holy Spirit, because we have influence. Hallelujah. Can everybody bow your heads this morning? Going to move on here in just a moment with this message. But before I do, I must give an opportunity. Maybe there's someone in the house today and you are not saved. You're not a Christian. You've never prayed for Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You've never repented. You've never confessed your sin. You've never been born again. Today can be your day. If there is anyone in the house today, it would be my honor and my privilege to see you come into the kingdom of God. Don't resist the conviction and the dealings of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to count to three. And when you hear three, all I ask you to do is simply raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Is there anyone in the house? Just simply raise your hand. All right, I'm not seeing any hands. Eyes open. Can you just stand to your feet? This was a message today for the mothers, but it's also a message for all of us. We need the activity and the dealing and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Yes, church, we need more of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that today? We don't want to become hard-hearted and deceived as a church, as a believer. We need Him. We need to keep ourselves vulnerable and pliable and open. So we're going to close with this song, and we're just going to worship the Lord. And then Rob's going to shut us down. God bless you.